This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Here's something that I thought that was pretty interesting. We'll see what you think about it. The number of entrants into the NBA draft is at its lowest since 2015.
Yeah, bump that. They showed the graphic on NBA, or they showed the graphic on something when we were doing the show yesterday.
Only 106 players entered the 2025 NBA draft per the NBA.
Yeah.
That's the lowest number of early entrants since 2015, down from a peak of 363 in 2021, just before the NCAA's NIL era officially started.
What do you think about that?
I don't think it's coincidence. Like,
you make money in college. Mm-hmm. Like, all of these marginal, I always use them as an example. It's terrible. I apologize. Scalabissiere. Mm-hmm. Scalabissiere couldn't get on the floor at Kentucky, but you, like, Coach Cal was going to hype him up. He hyped him up to Sacramento. Now you might be making money somewhere. It's like, oh, I can't play in Kentucky. I'll just go play somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'll go make money at UCF, wherever.
Right. Sac State.
Sac State.
Yeah.
Where everybody comes to play.
There's Armando Bacot. He
sounds
was
like a curse word.
He was the new Perry Ellis for college, okay. Right? Like, cause remember Perry Ellis at Kansas was there 7 years or whatever. Or Armando, he felt like he was at North Carolina for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for a long time. I think he was a COVID year type guy too. And he came out, I think, after everything was done. And it wasn't even a secret, but he was just like, yeah, I kept going back to school because I made $3 million at UNC. Like, yes, why enter the draft and be a fringe second rounder or, you know, undrafted and all this other stuff when I can go back to one of the biggest brands in basketball, North Carolina, and make $2 million a year? And I think that's, you talked about it just now, the guys that are kind of fringe, they may not be in a rush to take that chance anymore. Like, I can, hell, if I get $250,000 to go back to school, and while I'm at school, I could potentially have a better season and boost my profile to potentially get into the NBA, I'm not taking no chances. Go back to school. So there's that aspect. I know, once again, just like the LeBron thing, I know you'll disagree. I understand. But that's why I thought it wasn't crazy if Cooper considered it. I know we're starting to, you don't want to start the clock. And all this. I get it. I do. But if he's like, I could go back to school, and I don't know how much he made, so I'm just throwing out a number. I can make another $8 million.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
I can do that again. As opposed to, and once again, you're thinking long term because you want to start the clock. But I'm gonna go to the NBA and make. If I made 10 at Duke, I'm gonna go make 8 in the NBA. Let me get another 10 real quick. But that's a short way of looking at it, to a short term view of looking at it. But I wonder if we're gonna get guys on his level or close to it going back to school at some point?
It's hard to imagine for me. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine for me just because if you're a, I don't know that there is a thing anymore as a surefire guy. It feels like Cooper Flagg is, mm-hmm. but it's just, it's the thought process in my, at least I would think it's the thought process for contract number two. And if you really wanted them ones, contract number three.
Right. Right. And
so like eight million in the grand scheme of things mm-hmm. is cute. 8 million in the moment is like, we're walking away from this.
Right.
8 million, 10 million, 16 million over the course of 2 years. Someone at some point is going to say, I'm certain someone at some point is going to say, I will give you $35 million to play college basketball at Duke University for the next 3 years. That's going to be really, really difficult for a 17-year-old to say no to. Without the proper guidance, without the proper understanding, that's going to be really difficult for a 35-year-old, for a 17-year-old to say no to $35 million.
And it's going to be difficult for him to do it because of what you laid out, but also, like, anything could happen in 3 years. You're giving me a check right now, like a lottery ticket right now for $35 million. I could wait and get more.
No.
I could wait and get more. But
I don't know what 35 divided by 3 is, but you're going to get it 1 year, the next year, and
35
the next year.
A year?
No.
Or 35?
35 total.
Got you.
12, 11 and a half, whatever, 11 points, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You'll each year the contract is for 3 years.
Right.
You get it at the beginning of each year.
No, I get that, but if
and no transfer portal.
If I'm you sign me to a 3-year contract, fully guaranteed. I got $30 million fully guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anything could happen in year two. Like I could break my leg.
That's right.
I got 35 right. You're telling me I'll put it in the contract. I have a lawyer. Even with injury, this 35 guarantee.
That's right.
Yeah, I might stick around. You know what I mean? Like not knowing, like, hey, if you just do the 1 year thing, you can make more on the back end, like in the NBA. You never know.
Yeah. That
some
was
people
private.
Some people might be like, oh, I'm not worried about that. I'm with that 35 right now.
I that was a dumb way of doing this. What does what's the Cooper Flagg's gonna go first? What's he gonna make? Average annual? Roughly, well, this was last year, 10.5. 10.5, 9.4, 8.4, 7.6. It goes down the later you're drafted. Whew, man. You're a potential lottery pick. And what's Haslam? Pilot? Pilot says, no, you come play ball at the University of Tennessee. $18 million over 2 years. That's $8 million per. You'd have to be drafted third to make that.
Yeah.
Confident you could do that? That's tough.
That is tough. That is tough, man.
Tough.
And here's the other thing to consider in Cooper's scenario. I'm already the number one pick, the consensus number one pick. If I go back to school, even if I'm making $11 million at school, the only thing I could do is hurt my stock. Like, I can't go up any higher. The only thing that could happen is somebody jumps me at number one, and now I'm messed up for my NBA money a little bit. So, in his case, the time was now to go. Like, you're not going to get any higher as far as your stock as an NBA player. But that guy who, you know, hey, I'm projected to go fifth in the draft. Give me $18 million over 2 years. I don't know. I might hang around.
It's different. Yeah. It's different.
Might hang around. That's where Shaq comes into play as a GM. He signs those contracts.
Yeah, makes promises. Can't keep.
All right, let's.
I'm going to have to face Shaq one day. I'm going to need to stop this.
I'm going to talk to Shaq. I was thinking about this today. If we interview Shaq, I'm doing the Shaq in front of Shaq.
Oh, yeah. I actually thought about that. I think we could get Shaq on the show.
I think we could, too.
We have a great relationship with Sac State.
I think we could, too. And I do the Shaq.
Can I?
You wouldn't do the Shaq.
Yeah, I'd be like Shaq. Oh, I absolutely believe you would.
Shaq. I say, I tell you how I do it. I'd be like, Shaq, I do these impressions. I got a Shaquille O'Neal. Can you rate it?
Did you ever see the video where Jay Lethal is doing Ric Flair to Ric Flair?
No.
It's the Woo video, right? Or whatever.
Yeah. So Jay Lethal is a black wrestler, but he's known for his impersonations of Macho Man and Ric Flair.
Okay.
His Ric Flair is very funny. Uh-huh. But there's but probably it's got to be one of the most famous TNA videos ever, where Jay Lethal is doing Ric Flair to Ric Flair, and it's like that's how I envision Shaq talking to Shaq.
I would let Shaq know what we got going on here, and I'd be like, I want you to rate it. What you think about it? Yeah, I do.
And then when he goes to rate it, you go, no, Shaq.
Exactly. You see it. Yeah.
Shaq, you don't know nothing about impersonations.
I think we could pull that off, to be honest. Yeah. I think we could get Shaq on the show.
Oh my God!
I got my feelings hurt this morning. Jesse had put the note in about the Sam Amick thing.
Okay.
Which I had heard a little like rumblings about, so I figured, oh, he must have said it to Dave. Like we're not allowed to talk to Sam. Like it's fine. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, go see what Dave and Jason are doing with Sam. So I go to their page and I saw.
Who did you see there?
Luke Wood. I saw Dr. Luke Wood and I thought, what day was this?
Yeah.
Pulled up the calendar and was like,
I said, oh, word?
Oh, we was a stop on the media tour. Been begging this man for 6 months.
Oh, I didn't know it was him.
And we were a stop on the media tour.
I saw it that day. I was like,
First of all, we'll do it 10 times out of 10 for our man, Dr. Wood, in Sac State.
Yes.
Admittedly, my feelings were hurt. I was a sensitive little bitch this morning, and I was not happy.
That day, I was like, oh.
Media tour stop.
Damn.
We're not special.
Ours was better, though. But
it's always better, but still all right. Hurtful.
Time to have fun.
You got alligators today?
No alligators. Well, we'll see. I don't know if this is fun. I'm just trying to help my guy out.
Oh, Jesus.
Jeff Bezos backed Slate Auto reveals Tesla EV truck rival. So Jeff Bezos is backing something called Slate Auto that is ready to compete with Tesla EVs.
Okay, wait a second. Tesla EVs or Tesla trucks?
Tesla EV truck, right.
Dump it. Okay. That's the stupidest damn car I've ever seen.
No, it's not.
The Tesla
truck? It's trash. It's absolute trash. That car looks like trash.
The truest thing I ever saw was that you never see anyone in the passenger seat of those things.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Cannot, if you listen to this show and you drive a Tesla truck, thank you. But understand, when I see those, I immediately think you're a jackass.
Oh, come on.
The second I see them, I go, look at this jacket.
Come on.
Now, mind you, I drive the same make.
Yeah.
But I see the truck, and I go,
I actually like the trucks.
I like the trucks. Yeah, you ain't never going. How's that deposit you put down that you and Jazz put down?
Bring that up.
What? Man, that's a low blow, bro.
Wow.
How rich is Kenny? Burns a deposit on the trashiest car I've ever seen. Is he upset by it, Jesse? Nope, completely unfazed.
That was like a 2 year
just
deal.
Goes and buys another one.
No, I didn't buy another one. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. What did you drive here, or what drove you here?
That was not. It's not a truck.
It's not a truck, but it's the same maker. Did they move the deposit over?
No.
This is stupid. Go to commercial. Yeah, we're going to talk that talk right now, man. Eddie Gonzalez with us. This is the best 30 minutes in radio right here with our boy. Eddie, what's happening?
I appreciate that. Man, same old, man. What's up with you guys?
Hey, did Jalen hit the biggest shot in New York Knicks basketball history last night?
The biggest in my lifetime. I think the only thing close is the LJ shot.
That's the only other one we came up
but
with.
That was on the road in the series, you know, stave off a comeback. That was great. I mean, he won me over in this series. Not that I didn't like him before, but in multiple crunch times this series, he just took over and owned it. Now, unfortunately for Jalen and all the Knicks fans, they're probably about to run up to the worst matchup possible for that team, a team that's owned them all year long. And a dude that is on them all year long, but we're singing praises right now. So I'm gonna say, yeah, maybe the biggest shot in the history of my lifetime with the Knicks, which isn't that great a thing. This first round on the road against the 6 seed, like we can minimize it a little bit if we need to. If we want to hate.
It was a great shot. It was a great performance though from Jalen. It capped off. It's not like he had a rough night and that was his 17th point. Like that man had 40 and is the reason they won.
Incredible move on a great defender.
Yeah.
I seen the Jordan comparisons, which is essentially say he pushed the hell out of him. But, yo, he's at the littler guy to create that much separation. It wasn't all that push. And then you got to make the shot anyway. It was an incredible moment. And it's been a fun first round, man. It's been a fun first round of these playoffs all around.
I saw people talking about that, too, and I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I couldn't see it. Like, whatever push-off was there, I looked on about 3 or 4 different angles. And I couldn't see the push off. I thought he just stopped on a dime, yanked him a little bit. I'm sure there's probably a little momentum that goes into it as well. But I said, you know, that was one of the nastiest game winners in NBA playoff history. I've got a top three right now. I've got Jordan on Russell, Dame over Paul George. But that right there, when you talk about, obviously there's been big shots made. There's a difference. I think you understand what I'm saying. The way he shifted. Asur in that moment, that was filthy, man.
Yeah, there's been some great ones, like you said, but as far as the move itself goes, I mean, that was incredible to watch a dude. I mean, he got 10 feet of separation on him, enough time to step into a three and hold him spot. And it was clear as day that's where they were going. You know, credit to the Pistons. I thought they had a great series. They obviously lost it in a tough way. They lost a couple games in a tough way. Jalen Brunson was killing him in crunch time over and over and over again. And that was the difference to me.
Man, his performance in that game last night and then what he did in game 4. I mean, I'm not calling him that just yet, but this is the type of stuff legends are made of. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's a first round series or whatever, but I mean,
it's not the first time he's done it.
No.
Right.
What he does in the playoffs is crazy. And I was thinking about this also watching him and what he does. And this is good to see, you know, if you have a son like myself who plays basketball or anybody that plays basketball. I'm being a little facetious, but I don't even know if he can dunk. Like, he does all this off of skill, footwork, timing, understanding the game. He, like, his skill is next level almost because it has to be. He's not this super athlete.
I met Jalen last summer. I did an interview with him. And, you know, it was funny. He was there early, which never happens, right? And Josh Hart, he came like 20 minutes later. And so, like, they asked him, hey, do you want to wait in the green room with these guys? We have, like, an area over here if you want to wait over there. He's like, I'll chill with them. So we end up talking for like 20 minutes, and we just talking hoop. Like, we just talking. And I start asking him about his game, and I kind of joke with him about being a foul baiter and this and that. And he's like, I mean, if you're going to foul me, like, I'm going to take the free throws. But he was like, what? I was talking to him about his in-between game, and I said, you know, you've always been a smaller guy, so clearly you've mastered this, but, like, what is it about? And he was just saying, like, because we were talking about the way he was scoring on Embiid. And he was like, it's not that I'm faster than guys. Like, I could beat them to the rim. It's that I can stop faster than bigger guys. Mm-hmm. And he was breaking it down to me. He was helping me understand, like, you know, sometimes that results in a foul, but sometimes it's a pump fake and it flies past me, and then I make a little layup over Embiid. It was a great example of that last night. Yeah, he pushed him a little bit, but he stopped on a dime so hard and sliced back to his right hand that Asar had no choice. He's too big. He flew to the other side. He's just a composed dude. And at that size, like, everything he does is impressive. You know, 33 shots. I text Tatum last night. We were in awe of the game, and he was, you know, they're going to play them. So I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but he was like, yeah, that's like New Age Iverson stuff. Like, 33 shots and hits, like, you know, that's their whole offense. And it really is. Like, I love Allen Iverson, but the style of play, the shiftiness, the finishing on the layups at that size. He had a great layup possession before that where he just, like, they needed two, and he just bullied his way into the paint, and he jab, 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 and finally got Schroeder just enough and scooped the layup in. A great crunch time performance. And, yeah, it's a legend for the Knicks because, I mean, the Knicks, again, in my lifetime, have played in one finals and have just never been championship contenders. So a good run or a dude like this who kind of restores the feeling in the city, and let me tell you, out here, it's restored. He's never gonna buy a drink in this city again. Yeah. He'll be fine.
Real quick, sorry, Dame. I don't want to leave this. Because shout out to my man Hong over at Phenom listening to the show. Shout out to, that's my man. I forgot about this. I think we all forgot about this. Allen Houston.
Okay. That's
an iconic one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's an iconic one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think
they went to the finals that year too.
The buildup of what he's had, Jalen has had now in his Knicks career, and he's the dude. Like, he's the dude. His dad's on the bench, like, you know, all this. He is the team. He's the heart of the city and the king of New York right now. And so to knock that down and finish that off, great. To hate a little bit, I'm expecting a sweep in the next round.
Oh, chill.
So that's
calm down, bro. Calm down.
No, it's fine. I want to hear more. That was literally the question I was going to ask you. You don't like the Knicks at all in this series.
No, I mean, a couple of reasons why. I mean, the Celtics have had their number all year long. They've beat them at the 8 straight times. They've had a couple like wide leads in these games. They've missed guys and still beat them. And obviously, nobody on that roster can guard Jason Tatum. But the real problem for them is the Celtics defense has the big, strong, rangy guards that are just going to be a problem for Jalen Brunson. So, yeah, they can play the mismatch game, and he can try to get Al, and he can try to get KP. But, you know, Derek White, obviously Jalen Brown, Drew Holiday probably is making his way back into this series. There's nightmare matchups for Jalen and everything he has to create on their offense. So if it becomes like, hey, we're going to make him have a hell of a time, and so beat us with OG and Mikal Bridges, and they got to outplay the Jalen Browns and the Jason Tatums in the road. I don't see this being particularly close at all. Knock on wood, both teams remain healthy, but it's kind of what we just saw with the Lakers and Wolves. Like, they just don't have the horses to deal with the stuff that the Celtics do, to me.
See, and this is what I would say. Like, I think the Celtics are the favorite. Maybe I'll stay with the courage of my convictions and I'll say Knicks are getting to the final. But in all reality, like, I'd pick the Celtics to win this series. I think they're a better team, and the Knicks haven't shown me enough during the season to make me feel any different. But in theory, because you said they don't match up well. I'll ask you this. In theory, I feel like they do. You have a Michael, you know, on the perimeter to match up with Jalen or with JT. You've got OG Anunoby who could do the same thing. You've got a guy in Karl Anthony Towns that can stretch the floor and get Porzingis out of the paint a little bit. It may not be actuality. Like, they may not be able to perform to that level. You got Josh Hart, who's just the guy that's going to compete, that's going to go out there, grind, you know, do all the dirty work. It feels like, just on paper, they do have some components that could allow them to match up. But you don't think so, huh?
No, they have talent, for sure. They have talented guys. But the first game in New York this year, they just attack Cat on defense over and over and over again to the point where they take him out late. The second game of the year, they just said, okay, we're just going to isolate Tatum against OG and then Mikal, and he attacked again and dropped another 40 on them. So, you know, end of the day, the best player in this series is Jason Tatum, and there's not really an answer for that. As far as Cat, yeah, Cat is an issue, but we've watched Cat do nothing in most of these fourth quarters. He had a great, I believe it was game three, where he had two big shots. But, you know, when you're playing the Jalen Brunson isolation offense, only so many guys are getting touches, which is, you know, unfortunate, but JB's killing it, so you got to live with that. But the Celtics, you know, they'll put a small on him. They'll put Jalen Brown on him. They'll put Jason Tatum on him. And they'll say, you know, we'll contest you shooting out there. We're not going to guard Josh Hart. We'll clog the paint away from him. Let Josh Hart hit five threes. I dare him. And they've done that all year long. And I think it'll be even more strongly in the playoffs as it's time to win. And, you know, I might have heard through the grapevine from a guy or two, like, they're excited as hell to play in the Garden and really prove a point. So I'm expecting, you look, JT's been averaging 35 a game since he hurt his wrist. He's got a new celly. And he's been killing
We
was talking yesterday, look, I might have to get a jersey, man, and really be. I don't know all the words I can say on the radio, but really be one of them dudes at these games in the Garden and start some stuff up. And he was like, man, you got to have the full experience. And so I'm being there yelling and screaming, but I think I wouldn't call it easy, but I think the clear advantage is with the Celtics here.
I like the old JT. I'm
trying to figure out what word Eddie was editing right there.
Can I say a-hole? Can I say
Oh, no. For some reason, you can say ass, but the second you add that second part of that word to it, all of a sudden it's like, hey. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't.
I get a lot of flack from Knicks fans, and then, you know, they might end up being my friends in about 2 months, but this is my chance to kind of say that. So I'm probably going to have fun with it.
Tell JT I like the old Sally. I like the kiss and then to the sky. I don't like the holding the wrist. I don't like that.
He gave him this one, and it's like, I don't know, man. Just knock him down. That's all. Just get some buckets.
A frequent subject of conversation in the group chat has been Karl Anthony Towns. Eddie, your thoughts.
Fascinating character, that dude. I mean, again, I look back at maybe it was game four. Hits a big three. It's a big fadeaway.
Yep.
He wins the game. He's as talented a dude that team has and the East has really on offense. But I think he's in an odd spot there. The thing you got to understand about the Knicks, it's the Jalen Brown show. Like, the Jalen Brunson show, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And everybody falls in line there. So you can pick your spots. You can make it work. But Cat was never there to get the touches maybe he wanted to get in this and that. He's been an up and down playoff player his entire career. He's been one of these guys that gets poked on and picked on and stuff like that. It's a great opportunity for him to fight against that. But I think, you know, what are we, almost 10 years in? Like, this is the player he is, which is to say he could explode on the right night offensively. He's going to be a little bit of an issue defensively. But they're lucky that got JP there to keep things afloat in crunch time. I don't think he's like this soft player like people make him out to be, but he is an awkward personality, and he's playing against probably the most ball-dominant player in the league, and that's saying a lot when we got guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you got Jokic. So it's tough to always keep your rhythm in a situation like that. So I'm shooting him a lot of bail, but I'm saying if they're going to compete in this series, he's going to have to be the best Cat we've seen thus far, and I don't think he can against that defense matchup.
Nah, that's fair. I there's something that he has to do that I don't know he can, but if they get into that situation where they try to put smalls on him, whether it's Jalen or JT or something like that, he has to make them pay. And it shouldn't be I'm going to stay out on the perimeter. They put, and not to say these guys are incapable, like Tatum is strong, Jalen is strong, but they they losing size, mm-hmm. you know, in that situation. Yeah. So it can't be, oh, I'm going to hang out on the perimeter. They get one of these guys on them. Hey, let me get on the block. Let me go to work. Let me make their life difficult in that respect, either get them in foul trouble, get buckets, or get offensive rebounds or something like that. Does he have that mentality? Does he have that cachet to be able to demand something like that? I don't know. Like you said, it's Jalen Brunson's show. But if they get those switches going and they got him in going up against those forwards, he's got to make them pay.
Yeah, there's a great highlight from Tatum the first game in the Garden where, I mean, again, they were attacking him in pick and roll over and over, and JT hit an in and out move that almost set that young man down and then dunked on somebody after that. So it's like that was the game plan for one night. And then the next night, it was almost the last game of the season, and the Celtics were almost bored. You know, they had a big lead. They let the Knicks come back. Remember, Tatum misses a free throw late, hits another free throw, goes into overtime. Jaylen Brown gets hurt, sits the rest of the game, and they still pulled it out. So it's like, it's just a tough matchup all around. I think, you know, Cat is about to have that series that we thought Rudy Gobert was about to have against the Lakers, where, like, his mistakes are going to be so visually loud that people are going to feel a way about Cat's performance, I think. Mm.
Let's switch conferences here for a little bit, since we know how you feel about what's going on in the East. We do have a game 7 coming up. Didn't get to talk a lot about this one yet here today. Clippers and Nuggets going to a game 7. Any team you like in that one? And would you like to jump aboard the Jamal Murray hate train with me?
Oh, come on.
I can't explain why, Eddie. Jamal drives me nuts. Yep. And I think last night was a perfect. This is what I'm talking about. Last night was a perfect example. It actually, Kenny and I are expressing the same exact thing. We're just doing it in different ways. KC is saying the Nuggets will only go as far as Jamal Murray will let them, because you just don't know what you're going to get from him every night. I'm saying is I can't stand Jamal Murray. You don't know what you're getting from him on a night-to-night basis. And I feel like he's... I don't know. Extended discussion. Point is, Eddie, Jamal drives me nuts.
Look, there's an inconsistency that has kind of always been there with him. He's been a playoff riser. He's been a frustrating regular season player. But I agree, like, you kind of just don't know what you're going to get. He's one of those players, I call him like a 2K player. Like, if you were to make a 2K player, it might be like Jamal. He can make the three. He's got a handle. He can dunk on guys. Like, he's like this smooth game. It's cool. It looks cool. All of that good stuff. But sometimes the idea of a player and then what you get on any given night is two very different things. So there's nights when he's a very serious defensive issue. There's a night when the shots aren't falling and you won't barely notice Jamal Murray's there. And then there's nights like, what was that, game 5 at home? Mm-hmm. And he's going crazy and he's the reason you won the game. And so, you know, he's randomly clutch. He'll randomly disappear for a game. Like, it's crazy watching it. I'm picking the home team almost by basis of them being the home team. This is an extraordinary close series. The matchups are, like, all over the place for both of them. I feel like Ivica Zubac has done a great job against Jokic. He did a great job in crunch time last night as well. It's been impressive to watch. I'm personally rooting for Russell Westbrook, the biggest scapegoated player in the league as of the last like four or five years, somebody who's been fun and been a great contributor, I think, in this series. Yes, he missed a tough layup last night and another one blocked, but I think he's overall been a great positive for the team. He saved them in a couple games this series. You know, but we might get another Kawhi game. We might get another James Harden game, but I'm kind of going with history here and saying that I'm trusting the Nuggets at home, even though they lost game seven at home last year. I'm trusting James Harden to revert to big game James Harden tomorrow, which we've kind of seen after a big actual big game. And I'm just trusting the continuity that the Nuggets have as well. I'm hoping it's a great game. I'm hoping it's not our only game 7, which also means I'm hoping the Rockets win tonight too.
I hope so too on that situation. But
I'd be surprised if they did. I would. But we can talk about that.
I would too. You mentioned it though, and. You know, this is – we talk about storylines in the playoffs and legacies and all this other stuff. It's the first round, so you're not going to erase everything. But here we are, James Harden in a game 7 on the road. And anytime his team's season has been up against the wall, he has folded like a stack of cards. And that's what everybody's waiting for. Is this season going to be any different? I don't know. On my Prize Picks – I picked him to have a good game last night. He did, you know, so he worked out. But is he going to do that two times in a row? Mm-hmm. Last time we seen him in a game seven, he was just falling on the ground against Boston. Just falling. Nobody touched him, nothing, just falling on the ground. I'm super intrigued to see what type of performance we get from James Harden tomorrow night.
I am as well. And look, after Kawhi had that big game too, people were putting him above my guy, and which I think is a little outlandish and ridiculous. That's a whole other combo. But one of the questions I kept asking was, when did he pass James career-wise? Like, when did he pass Russ career-wise? And, you know, we're fighting against playoff success there, and obviously he has two titles and two finals MVPs, and I understand. But I think the totality of what Russ and James have done probably outweigh that. But that's a whole different combo. The point is, James has never went over that hill in the playoffs. Even in the one finals he went into as a sixth man, he was extremely disappointing. He's had some of the more outlandish losses and failures from a superstar we've ever seen in NBA history. Honestly, the only one worse than some of his stuff is the infamous 2011 finals. But somebody asked me on my stream yesterday, can he overcome the stigma at this point? I don't think so. I think, like, we're always going to view James as this playoff failure type of guy, even if he wins a title. But he's had big games. He's had big game sevens. He's had big nights to clinch series. I think this matchup, kind of, I'm not loving it. I'm not loving his overall performance in this series, even though the game, he just had a great game. I'm not expecting it. I feel like he gave us the last bullet he's going to give us, and we're going to have a rough night. And it's frustrating because I think James has had a great career. I think he's been a Hall of Fame caliber player and an all-time great, but he's just never got over this hump. And we just get some of those guys every generation. Some of these guys just aren't meant to win titles. You only win one a year, and it hasn't been him.
But he could win. How great does he have to be for them to win a title? Can he be good and they win a title, or does he have to be great?
I mean, the cop-out answer is it depends on Kawhi, right? Like, it kind of depends on both of them to both be great. Even if he's great as point guard James, which means he's giving you 20, a consistent 20, and he's setting everybody up. But it just hasn't been consistent. That's the issue with them. Kawhi hasn't been all that consistent, and obviously he's still working his way into shape and all this other stuff. But I think that's the issue with this team when you look at it. It's just there's so much variance in everything they do. Not only their two superstars at the top, but also their role players throughout the roster. The only guy who's been incredibly consistent for this series and really this season, Zubac. and he's going to give you every night. He's going to be tough defensively. And some people think he should have been the defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. And he's got the toughest matchup in this series, and he's been there every night. So, you know, how great does he have to be? Really great. Especially if he's going to go through this West. Their next series is going to be OKC, the number one seed. And that's a tough matchup for them as well. A ton of rangy defenders. They'll switch a ton. They're not going to let him do his mismatch hunt thing. They're going to scout him well, and they got a great coach. And then whoever he has to go through from there, whether it's the Timberwolves or the Warriors, another tough matchup. So in order for him to win a finals this year with this team, he's probably going to have to be that 2017-18 James. And that's just not there anymore. He doesn't have the lift. He doesn't have the separation, dribble. Jump shot has been it because he shot less than 40% this year from the field. Yeah. You know, that's what we get. Still managed to be great, make an all-star team, carry that team for a while until Kawhi was there. But it's the playoffs now, and it's got to be better.
I don't even think Zubac was one of the three finalists, was he? I thought I was one of the people who thought he should have. I thought he could win it. I don't even think I remember saying that he's not even one of the three. It was Draymond, Evan, and
Dyson
Daniels. That's right.
Now, Zoo,
tough field this year. They were all great.
Yeah,
Zoo had a really good season.
Yep.
Hey Eddie, I have been saying for years now, but it got magnified again the other day.
I feel like you, Eddie, you got some time today. You got a few extra minutes. Oh yeah, let's roll, because there's 10 things we haven't talked to Eddie about yet.
So
we're good, man.
So
no games till later. We boxing, but the
that's, oh man, I can't wait for that boxing at 3 o'clock,
look,
boy.
And look at our
get my DAZN.
Burt Sugar over here in Barley.
But nah, man, I'm chilling, man.
So check this out. I've been saying for a while, and one of the first interactions we had, I don't know if you remember this, one of the first interactions we had was years ago, and we had kind of linked a little bit, and I hit you on Twitter. I said, hey, let me ask you a question, because I was like, you're a Rockets fan. what's the difference between Luka and James Harden? And you're like, I'm not getting in this right now. He said, I'm not doing this. But I said, and I still believe this, Luka is so bad on the defensive end, and his approach to not caring about defense is so bad. I don't think you can win a championship with him as your number one guy. I know they just went to the NBA Finals, but my argument is they went up against a champion, and the champion pimp slapped him. And that's what's going to happen every time. You can have your little cute matchups where, oh, our bigs work against the Thunder, and like this will work, and like you can win some series. But when you go against those champions, you have no shot with that guy and his effort on the defensive end. Am I doing too much?
No, I agree. And it's something I've said for a while, and I think chief examples people bring up to counter that with Luka is Jokic and Steph. But the difference with Jokic and Steph is Steph was an effort defender. He kind of made himself enough of a positive even at that size. And he also has some of the greatest defenders in the generation next to him as well. When he had Draymond, he had Andre Iguodala, he later had Kevin Durant, he had Klay Thompson. Like, he was able to be the weakest link on that roster and hold his own when need be. Nikola Jokic, same situation. That team changed when they got Aaron Gordon, who was one of the better defenders in the league. And Jokic was able to play a conservative but effective version of center defense. He was able to drop. He was able to be big in the paint. He's able to make sure he rebounds. Look, he's not supposed to switch and be on an island guarding Kyrie. Every center is going to look crazy doing that. So let's find the best version of this we can find. They put together a rugged, tough defense out there, and they made it work with KCP, with Christian Brown off the bench, on and on and on. And they had a great year. Luka Doncic has never reached that level of defense that these two guys have. Even last year, where they had a great defense after the post, after the All-Star break, it was built on the backs of two really good centers. It was built on the back of a lot of great wings. One of them we're seeing in Derrick Jones Jr. and the Clippers playing really great defense now. PJ Washington coming there being a fresh body. So they put a bunch of 6'8", 6'9", 7-foot dudes around him and played a great style of defense, and it made him look better. Did he increase his effort? Yeah, a little bit, sure, as did Kyrie. But he's not been a great defender. And then when the fire is hottest, it's hurt him the most. I think this playoffs is an example. It's a result of a few things for the Lakers. One, you traded your two best defenders to get him, and you got a much worse defender on your roster, and now you're dealing with Austin Reeves and LeBron at his age, who can be a good defender, but like for the stretch of 5, 6, 7 games, that's asking a lot. Mm-hmm. So you traded your two best defenders, you traded your best center, you traded all of that for a guy who's not offering really any of the things you traded. He's great, though. So there was some addition and subtraction within that. But you do that 10 times out of 10. That's a 10-year trade, and you're willing to sacrifice the first 4 months. That's fine. That's a smart decision. But, yeah, that's what they suffered from here. J.J. Redick called him out, called out his shape, I think his professionalism. And it's really on Luka to sit there and say, am I going to have the effort here? Am I going to get in the shape necessary to be in? And for all the people that are like, oh, he's in fine shape, he's this and that, and that. I don't care if he drinks alcohol. I don't care if he does whatever. He has all the resources possible to be in the best shape of his life. He's not in the best shape of his life. There's these videos circulating every day of his rookie year, sophomore year, this skinny dude you could barely recognize. And you would think he's 35 years old now. He's 26. Mm-hmm. He damn near should be in better shape. Even if he put on some weight as he grows, he should be in better shape. So to me, I'm to the point where there's no more excuses. This has happened enough times. He's been exploited enough in this series. And it's time to really get it together. And this is your franchise going forward. So they have time to build that roster of athletic wings around him that will help him be a better defender. We just need you to be not an absolute negative. Get in better shape so you're not fading in late games and not be the worst defender in every series we play in forever. Please. If they do that, he'll be fine. If he doesn't do that, we're gonna keep bringing up those pictures of Nico Harrison and going, We're going to keep using the Thanos gift where he says they call me a madman and going, because it's going to be some truth to that gospel if he keeps doing this.
So this sparked a lengthy discussion, argument, fight about the Lakers, like, future. And what is their true, like, what's their road to being different next year? And we couldn't come up with an answer. I mean, obviously you got the LeBron James player opt out, but, you know, you open yourself up for a couple of things there. But then you've got, you know, dicey waters to navigate with, you know, making sure LeBron James is taken care of going into his final year. But what is the true pathway ahead for the Los Angeles Lakers?
That's what everybody's wondering. And it's funny because their three best players are kind of their three biggest issues right now. Austin Reeves only makes, I think, $13 million a year right now. He's extremely underpaid. And this is the last year he'll be making that. So you're going to be figuring out what I'm going to pay him going forward. And so Austin Reeves is great as a $13 million player. What is he as a $45 million player? Is he an overpaid?
Yeah, I don't know what the next words out of your mouth was, but the answer is yes.
The football strategy, right? The old Patriots, the current Eagles, whomever, the Chiefs, is once you're overpriced, you're somebody else's problem.
Yep.
That's not the NBA strategy. And then we got to trade you now that you're overpriced, and it's all these issues, and like you can't get rid of Brad Beal, so you lose Jimmy. But all this stuff can happen if you got overpriced players on your roster. So they're probably not letting him leave, but they probably should, right? You probably should before you pay him 40. Should we pay him more money than Zach LaVine? Now, hate Zach LaVine all you want. He's dealing with the same issue. He might be overpriced for what he's giving you, but imagine when that's Austin Reeves. LeBron, you're not, you can't let LeBron leave. You can't let him have that year or somewhere else in this and that. But you really got to sit down and say, hey, in order for this team to get better, can't necessarily be a $60 million player this year. A report comes out today that says that ain't happening. He ain't doing that. He taking all his coins. So now you have two massive issues right then and there. The right move, the smart move, if you're heartless and you're building this team for 4 years from now, you trade Austin Reeves with somebody and you get something now, and you get something that's actually worth $40 million rather than $40 million of a $20 million player or whatever. And it's to really play hardball with LeBron. But they're not doing neither one of those. They have to make sure they get Luka to sign his extension and he's there. They have to make sure LeBron's there and happy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
And they love Austin Reeves. So, yeah, we're pretty much going to be looking at a lot of a similar team next year. Obviously, they'll do their work to find a center, and then they'll hope their guys are in better shape as the season ends. The report comes out today. LeBron's hurt. Austin Reeves has been hurt the whole series. Luka's now hurt. And it's all very convenient. But at the end of the day, they need to figure out the right amount to pay those dudes and the right team to put around them. It's not going to be easy for them this year. And it's going to be interesting because you don't know how long LeBron's playing. You got to sit down and figure that out as well. You got to sit down and figure out, like, this isn't going to be some ceremonial year where we just send you off and it doesn't matter what happens. Like, every year you have Luka Doncic, you need to maximize. And LeBron has to get with the program there, whether he likes it or not.
Well, I love the man.
Oh, same.
You remember when Bron went to the post game with the Cavs?
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
No, I think LeBron was hurt in that game, like his knee, like the man's leg was swollen. Like I believe it. But like he's limping and moving slow. It's like he almost loses the benefit of the doubt. And then I just as Eddie was talking, I was like, oh, remember when he went to, he had the, like right after, hey, I want a cast before I go to the podium.
Wrap this up, guys. Just in case. I love LeBron. I think he's the GOAT, but he is nothing if not an attention queen, drama queen.
Oh, yeah.
All of that. Like, oh, but they all have been. They're all dramatic as hell. All the great players dramatic as hell. They limp a little extra hard when they know the camera's on them. Kobe's sticking his teeth out. Mike is doing all this. They all do it. LeBron just does it in like the funniest way possible.
LeBron, so, that's a JR him. Series.
He probably was hurt.
Wasn't the story he punched something?
Yeah, punched the wall
after the game.
Yeah. Now LeBron that's hilarious. JR that's Smith
like punched the
wall.
Yeah. Played the series with one hand, and then remember
when he played with?
He played the series. He's throwing dunks off the backboard. He's doing LeBron stuff. Checks out the game, game four, and daps everybody up with the left hand. What a guy.
Hey, man, remember when he saw three rims, though?
The three rims. The one I was going to bring up, the classic, is when we thought LeBron shattered his wrist in 20 places in 2016 when he got fouled. And then he goes to the free throw line, misses the first one, like, what?
Well,
hits the second one. Hey, one more time, guys. Come on. Let's go. Man, I thought your wrist was hurt.
We just saw it the other day. Remember, Casey, remember when Tyrese died? Tyrese Halliburton gets swiped at, curls up in a goddamn fetal position, doesn't get any extra whistle, and then just gets up, goes to the foul line. They run the replay. He doesn't even get hit. Hey. He's just covering up like he's getting jumped and menaced to society.
These NBA dudes is hilarious, bro.
Speaking of Reese, before this cuts off, I have to issue my official apology. Because I've now watched this man go crazy in a game seven at the Garden and cross up Giannis for a series. Mm-hmm. I have to salute. Yep. I have to salute. I had to tip my hat and call the Yankees my daddy because he's one of them dudes, I guess.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
It just is what it is. And I love that for him. His daddy was tripping, but that ain't none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
I got to salute to Tyrese Halliburton. You got it, buddy. When you cross that dude up in that moment for that series, I don't care if it's the first round or not. Jalen Brunson stole his fire by doing it a little better, but that means something to me when you do that. So I got to salute him. He's killing, man. And it's who knows where he goes now.
Yeah. Let me I want to ask you a Kings question. I think you do good with this question. We were having a discussion about just guys that may be available, and we're trying to figure this out for the Kings and what you would do. Who would be your number one choice out of these four guys? Zion, Trae Young, John Morant, LaMelo Ball. If you were to
keep these all cost you Domas, right? Like this is the idea. Domas out for one of these guys?
Yeah, no? I guess so. It could be LaVine, but probably Domas. Well, for argument's sake, we'll say Domas.
We was going to trade the Chicago Bulls.
I mean, my answer is Zion. You know, he's the youngest of that group. I think he has the most potential. I also think this for box office ideas. Like Zion's still supposed to be a great player. Like there's a pathway still where he stays healthy, and it's like this is the
is
dude
there?
We're supposed to have. And I'm banking on that more than Ja Morant, who it seems like is having some slippage. Mm. He's having his own injury issues.
Starting to fall apart.
You don't love a slight point guard who bounces off everybody. You don't love how that ages. I love Trae Young. Don't get me wrong. But you don't love a small point guard that small. He offers nothing on defense. He's an extraordinary offensive player. I'm a Zion guy, man. I want to see Zion do well. I think he's one of the more unstoppable forces in the league still. I think in the right situation, he's going to be much better. Is that right situation in Sacramento? I don't know. And I'm very curious watching Happy Doug got the job. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious watching what they do. You know, fans don't love it, but I think some version of a teardown is probably the best deal here. But I don't expect them to do that. I expect them to continue to try to be competitive, to try to move up in the West. But this is a tough West. It has a roster with a lot of issues. You know, the right idea is probably give Doug a fair shot, let him build something out there. We'll see what they do. I think they have pieces that are super tradable. They want to get involved. They want to get active in the market. There's going to be a certain seven-footer in Phoenix on the move, so there's going to be opportunity to be involved in trades like that, be parts of that, pick up some spare parts. You know, whether it's a Jalen Green, whether it's a Mikal Bridges, whether it's one of these other guys who's a part of that deal, I think there's some good free agents on the way. I'm curious. But to answer the question in that long roundabout way, I would go to Zion.
What you think about LaMelo?
I love LaMelo, but I just like there's some bad habits there.
Yeah, to say the least.
You know, obviously some health issues we continue to have. And I mean bad habits basketball-wise. You know, yeah. He's never won meaningful games in his life. I don't think he's ever finished a season
played
over 500.
Meaningful games in his life.
The last meaningful game he won was at Arco Arena when him and his brothers won the state championship. That was it.
I love Melo's game. I mean, and I think getting in the right situation would be great for him. But I think he's, not to be old-timey about it, but he needs to be surrounded by strong vets. He needs to be on a team where he's not necessarily the focal point and be a true point guard for maybe some really great wings. And I just, you know, he goes to the Kings. It's probably just the same issues he's having in Charlotte now where they're just not good enough to play meaningful games just yet. And he's just wallowing away. But I do love him. I do love his game. If I'm betting on any of those dudes and I'm paying a premium to do it, it would be Zion. I hope the Kings take a big swing like this, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope they ignite the situation over there. I like what's going on in Sac State. It's a lot of big names, but I want to see some results. But yeah, I hope the Kings remain in this like competitive era they're in, but you know, get a little higher, obviously, and make a real push.
I'm fearful Kings fans wouldn't actually enjoy Zion Williamson being here because they would just like they'd be scared every game.
Yeah,
is this the one? Is this? Oh, he's okay. Okay, all
with
right.
Him, you just. Go to the arena, and he's out tonight.
Yeah, well, it'd be probably – why all of a sudden are the injury reports being downloaded 40,000 times a day? Well, Kings fans, they're just – oh, my God, he's doubtful now. Oh, here we go. Kings, great.
So many interactions on those tweets.
Oh, man.
Like, well, why do you guys care about this, man?
So bad. Eddie, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for spending a few extra minutes with us. We knew we had a lot of basketball to talk here with you, man, so we appreciate you. It's almost three, man. So
yeah, hurry up and get the Times Square.
We got to get the zone up, and we got to get the playback running.
Good. Nah, I appreciate y'all, man, like always. Hopefully we get two game sevens out here, and then – we'll be able to talk about them a little bit next week. So,
yes,
yeah, like I said, salute to Hallie. His dad tweaked. I know we didn't talk about it too much, but he got what he deserved.
I
came around. Y'all seen him around.
No. Mr. Halliburton's our guy. He was in the wrong. Yeah. He was absolutely 1,000% in the wrong. You cannot, under any circumstances, do that. I get it, though. Like, this was a long discussion. Like, I get it. We know Mr. Halliburton. We're a little bit jaded on that. I didn't think it warranted whatever we're calling this. And again, for the foreseeable future, might be this next series. Like, it could be a really short term. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I understand making an example.
Not to drag a super long convo y'all have already had, but to me, it's just about two things. One, him and Giannis didn't have a rapport. Once Giannis said, yo, I didn't know who that was, to me, that was like strike one and two.
Yep.
And the other one is there is a little bit of decorum that the family and the friends had to uphold. Yeah,
absolutely, 100%.
And it's just like, that's just is what it is. People were bringing up Shannon. Shannon's a fan who paid. He actually didn't even cross the line to get on the court. So there's like, you know, little nuggets like that.
Like, you're a great example. You've sat in those seats. You've been in those moments. You know those guys on the floor. Have you ever stepped on the floor in that manner?
You just can't.
You don't
even
do
after
it.
The game, it's kind of like they'll put the ropes up and like, we're talking about people's mamas, best friends, former players. Like, there's kind of an understanding like, oh, we don't go on the court.
Yeah.
So the fact that he just got up off his seat, walked on the court right when the game and got right in a dude's face, like, That was a little wild. So it was like, again, if they have, if they're yapping, if Giannis goes to him and his seat and they're yapping, that's a little different for me too. Yep. If there was rapport, obviously that's different. But for Giannis to say, yo, I didn't know who that was at first.
Right.
And then have to find out on the court and then go kind of like, hey, yo, it's cool. That was a little wild for me. And he took some accountability, but he also kind of laughed it off, which is like, but
yeah, right. he shouldn't have done the news interview.
I couldn't believe it was like,
nah, I missed that. I don't know.
Just leave the tweet and leave it. Leave
hey,
it
look, alone. That's his daddy. Like, people's like, he should tell his dad. This is grown ups. You know what I'm saying? I can only control my dad so much. So he's going to do what he's going to do.
Well, no. No. I do believe Ty. Hey. Yeah. Like, nah. Like,
I respect what Tyrese did after the game, too, saying, look, first of all, before I say anything, he's not in the right. So I was like, I appreciate how they all handled it.
Yeah. Right.
But that was just crazy. So anyway.
Hey, let's go, Knicks, boy. Knicks State, baby. Knicks State. Okay. Let's go.
Settle down.
All right, settle now. Down. Four games.
Appreciate you, boy. Appreciate you, boy.
I'm happy to go.
So, man, Eddie Gonzalez right there. Man, that's the best 45 minutes in radio right there. We'll come back. Final hour of the day, final hour of the week coming up next. It's D-Lo and Kiss. It's Friday, too.
Oh, boy. Alligators, whatever.
It's a watch party. Put the zone on.
1,000 alligators versus 1,000 whatever. We talked about this. Who wins?
Watch party.
1,000 alligators versus 1,000 gorillas.
Yeah.
TSP at 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.